Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. This is Mark Stevenson.
And this is Mark Vila, and today we're going to talk about your marketing checkup. Marketing checkup. If you're watching video, Mark's proudly displaying his CAS podcast mug, which he's had for years and just started using recently.
I just started using because I left it at the office in 2019.
Yeah.
And I just picked it up like a month ago. So.
Well, I've got mine too, and I've been using it for years.
Gotcha.
And we're going to talk about your marketing checkup. And what this means is, what do? Once a year, you go to the doctor, hopefully.
Or once every 5 years.
Yeah, I'll recommend a year. Marco recommend five. This isn't about medical advice.
Right. But okay, good. Thanks for clarifying.
Theoretically, you go to once a year. And yeah. What do? They listen to your heart. They check your lungs. They give you a blood test. They check your red blood cells and white blood cells and all that stuff. They just look for anything out of the ordinary because you're not sick, right? And you don't know you're sick. You probably aren't sick. But if anything is out of the ordinary, they'll take action. Sometimes it's not a big deal, but they say, hey, we should do something about it now because in 10 years it could be a problem, right?
Right.
And that's what you should be doing for your marketing. You might not notice anything's a problem. There might not be anything wrong. Business might be well, but you should do a marketing checkup.
Yeah. And I think that's really important. We've talked about it on the podcast before. I talked to tons of businesses outside the industry. And what I find is, like me, who doesn't go to the doctor on a regular basis, I feel great. So I go along, all the time for years and years and years, and I never notice anything's wrong. These customers, if you're like them, then you get referral business, and you get people walking up to you in the street and asking if they can buy T-shirts or. At church, they just stopped you after this session and they're like, hey, do you sell T-shirts just randomly out of the blue? A lot of people get their business through word of mouth, local trade shows. So they might have a website or a Shopify store or something like that, but they just never look at it. They never go get a checkup. So there could be something really wrong. And you may not notice it right off the bat, but if you start looking for more business, if you start wondering why the only customers you ever get are ones that you meet walking down the street, then this episode is for you because that's what we're going to do. I'm just going to use literally the last four businesses that I talked to. Okay. So they all were in that situation. They kind of had enough business, but they wanted to grow. And so they asked me to take a look at what they were doing. I took a look at their websites, and three out of four of them, the contact form was not working. So literally, when you go to a website and you fill in hey, I'd love to get information about your law firm or your medical practice or whatever it is, that form either was broken that you could tell in the beginning, or you would fill it out and it didn't go anywhere. It went to an employee that hasn't worked there in 4 years. One website literally had been that way when I looked behind the scenes for 8 years. The contact form had not been working for 8 years. So two of them didn't have Google My Business profiles, which are the easy way to get found on maps. Four of them didn't have any real content. So there was no way that anyone was going to find them online, right? They didn't use keywords. They didn't do any of that stuff. One of them had Facebook pages, but they had a Facebook page and an Instagram page, but they no longer had control of it because the employee left 2 years ago that did it for them. So these are all problems that they did not know existed. So not only were they, they don't even know what opportunities they lost. Mm-hmm. People could have been coming to the site. Okay, maybe it was only four times over the past year. But it could have been someone that was interested in a $2,000 order or a $5,000 contract or something $600 a month that would, that they'd stay with the business for 10 years. You know, so just huge amounts of money from these simple things that they would have found if they went to the doctor and got a checkup.
Yep. And we have an episode about the value of customers over time, you know, your customer lifetime value and, yeah, and determining a value of a customer. And that's a great point that you just made with all of those right there. If somebody heard about you through a friend or referral and they searched you and they found your website and they went there and something was broken or didn't work, it could cause a little bit of discredit. You know, I filled out the form on the website. They didn't reply to me. Right.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be like that. And I spoke with somebody recently too, that was in a different industry, but some similar results. Their website had been down for, we found out later, you know, had been down for over a week. And they didn't know.
Right.
He said, "We just don't get a lot of business from the website, but we get some." Right. Because somebody finds us, there's a business card floating around and we get a few form fills, but it's not that weird for us to not get one in a week or only get one that nobody thought about it. And then in addition to that, the Google profile didn't even have the website. It had the right phone number and it had a little snippet of information, but their website wasn't on their Google profile. So when you search their name, right on the right-hand side there where you see the little Google setup, it just said website and it said add a website. There was nothing. So these are a couple simple things for a business that gets a lot of referrals. And a lot of times when people get referrals, one of the things they do is they just try to look the company up because they don't have the phone number maybe or an email address, or they just want a little snippet of who you are.
Yeah. Or I mean, I look up everyone. Yeah. Like if I meet you in the street and you tell me what business you're in, then I'm going to Google that business. I'm going to try to find it just because I'm always curious. I want to find out more about those businesses. And if that's you, then, you know, you might be in a bad spot if everything's not working right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what's the marketing checkup? You know, just how healthy generally is your overall marketing and presence? Is anything broken? Is there incorrect information, old phone numbers or emails? Is there something that's not a big deal now, but you probably should address it because it could be a big deal later? You know, these are all things that we look at. So we have a little list of what you can do for a marketing checkup. And these are some simple things. And some of them are rabbit holes that can take a while to do, but we'll wrap it up on how you can make sure you are consistent with this.
Yeah. So the first one is basically if you have a website and that goes for a Shopify store, or if your Facebook profile is your main way to get business.
Yes. And LinkedIn, anything, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever your interfaces to the public are, you know, does your website work? And how do you determine whether or not it works or it's working well? I mean, the first thing you would do is go through each page, starting with the most important. You know, you might look at the homepage for your site or your store, look at it on your laptop or your desktop computer, and then look at it on your phone. Does everything work right? Click on the contact button. Does the contact page show up? Does it look okay? Does it look okay on your phone? Fill out the contact form. See if that's correct. Go into the back end of your website if you can. And if you don't, make sure that you have somebody that does. And just look for flags. I know that the sites that we do are on WordPress, except for e-commerce. All of our information sites are on WordPress. And we go through it all the time. And as soon as you log into the back end, it will tell you if there are plugins that need updated. Mm-hmm. You know, it will flag things that might be broken. So yeah, that's kind of one of the things that you've got to do on a regular basis is just look at everything up front and log into the back end and see what's up.
Yeah, you log into whatever that platform is. So your Facebook page or your actual website or whatever it is. And the first thing you just look for, is there any exclamation points, lightning bolts?
A little warning sign warning with the signs. Exclamation in it.
Yeah, fires, you know, whatever symbols are symbols of bad stuff. You should look at those right? And that's just a simple thing to do right there. And oftentimes, if you're using social platforms as your website, those platforms will tell you to do something else. So they'll highlight a little area and just say, you don't have a website in here. And maybe you do have, you know, and or you don't have a description of what you do, or there's no phone number, or you haven't updated this in X amount of time. Verify your hours. If you log into Google, that's one that they'll do often, is they'll ask you to double check your hours. Is this still correct?
There's a holiday coming up. Are you going to be open?
Yeah. So these are all good. That's really the big thing is, I would say, is step one is as you mentioned, you know, log into it, your administration, and look for all that. Cause that's something right away. Most of these places where they host websites or social platforms, they do want to tell you if something major is broken, if they can know, if it knows. It won't always know that the web form's broken, but it will tell you if it knows that something's out of date or not updated or whatever. And that's important. If you don't do that stuff yourself, then you need to make sure you have somebody out there that's checking this regularly for you.
Right. And I would say also that, you know, as far as the, you know, taking a look at the website yourself, make sure that if you're looking at it on a desktop or a laptop, that you log into an incognito browser, you know, which if you just right click on Chrome or anything like that, you can say, you know, a new incognito window and type in your website address. So you get a slightly more unfiltered view of what it looks like. And also you might have somebody else look at it that is not you. Because just like when you look at your kids, you don't see their flaws, you know, all the time. So you're, you know, you might have a third party take a look at your site and just say, you know, that's a terrible picture, you know, or you didn't notice this was broken because this is the way you talk, but you're not saying what you meant, mm-hmm. you know, so you can rely on other people for that as well.
Yeah, that's in addition to the incognito is or private browse is an important one. Technically, the reason is, and just in as layman's terms, is your computer and whatever browser you're using tries to save some stuff in there so it doesn't have to find it on the internet every time. So it just saves it on your laptop or your desktop. And if something broke, it doesn't necessarily update to the new broken version because it just displays
what it showed
last time. It hasn't refreshed. So it just shows you what's been fine and not necessarily what's broken. So the incognito or the private will force a brand new refresh. You should also have a few different browsers on your desktop. So if you use Chrome, you could also have Firefox or Edge, whatever it is. And then definitely look at it on mobile. If you don't have an iPhone, looking at it on an iPhone is important because so many people have it. And if you don't have an Android type of a phone, is still very important because a lot of people have that too. But definitely the iPhone is still, you know, huge in popularity, and there's folks that have it and maybe don't like them. You should find somebody to look at that. But also look at it in an Android phone as well. Try to get a few different views. That should be part of your checkup. So that might be friends or family. And there's also tools online that you can look up to test your website or view it. And a lot of that stuff is, they're going to want to make you pay for something.
Right. Yeah.
They're going to say it's free.
It's a loss leader.
Yeah. So oftentimes this is simple enough to do on a basic level. Now, if you have a complex website, you probably have somebody who manages it for you. And then you should make sure that they're doing this and ask how they're doing it in detail. Because if it's a complicated website, they do have those tools and they're paying for them. Yep. Okay. Now you also mentioned about making sure the front end of the website, right? You're going there and we're looking at it, right? That's part of this. So now you should make sure that what you're saying is actually right. It's true.
Yeah.
Right. Not just read right, not just look right, not just broken images or misspellings, but do you have a list of services on your website? Do you still do all of them?
Yeah. Is it accurate?
Is it accurate? Did you buy a cutter that you never had before, and now you don't mention that you do all that vinyl stuff.
Yeah. Or, you know, like one person I ran into, they just had an address on the website, the contact address that was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you used to work out of your home and now you're in a shop or vice versa, you know, if you've changed the services that you offer, I agree. It's really important to check the phone number, make sure that phone number still works. You know, we go through that all the time because, you know, products are discontinued. Mm-hmm. Things go in and out of stock. You know, the keeping up with the accuracy of the information, you know, we'll do an ROI on a printing technology and forget to update it, even though the costs have changed of the supplies 4 times. You know, so someone will point it out, we'll go back and update it, but there's a lot to keep up with. And even if you have a small website with a few products on it, it's very likely that things change every few months.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely important to review all that information is correct. And it is, this is kind of where it gets into a rabbit hole, because you're like, let me make sure all my contact information is correct and my services are correct. And you did your job and by listening to other podcasts, by you made sure you were everywhere you needed to be on the internet. Right. So, and we'll get into some of that, I think in probably the next little section here. Do you have anything else you want to add about the website before we move on to that other stuff?
No, let's just go through the basics of what you need to make that are definitely correct. Make sure your address is correct. Make sure your phone is correct. Make sure if you have an email address on there that that's correct. You know, go through and make sure that none of your pricing has changed if you publish pricing. And if the products that you're talking about are still available, I think that's the punch list for correct information.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's great. That's great. So we talked about your website and we transitioned that into everywhere else on the internet, right? Because now that, you know, for one, we did kind of start with maybe your website is just your LinkedIn because you don't have a website, right? And or whatever. And that's good. But if you've gone through some of the exercises we've spoken about in other podcasts, you've set up a Google My Business. You've set up a Bing Places. You may or may not be on Yelp. Social media, you may be in a bunch of different places. You may have registered with like a chamber of commerce or a local networking group. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, dang, I'm in like 15 different places.
Yeah. And all that information has to be correct.
Yeah.
And has to match.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and I think you started with the two big ones. Google My Business is a free service offered by Google that it's how you get listed on the internet. They've made it super simple. You just go to Google My Business, click the login, and they'll walk you through how to create your own business listing. And that is what shows up in search, and it also shows up in Google Maps. So if you're running a local business, it is vitally important that you're there, that it's completely filled out, and that it's all accurate. And, you know, I think 78% of all searches, or I'm going to make up several different numbers during this podcast, 78% of all searches are done with Google. And that's where Google My Business shows up. Bing Places is the Microsoft equivalent. And that is where if you use Yahoo for some reason, or if you have a Windows laptop or a Windows phone that uses Edge as a browser. Which all of our laptops at Coldesi come with Edge pre-installed. Mm-hmm. So that is where that same information is delivered through MapQuest or whatever the Microsoft version of Google Maps is. So both of these working together will give you exposure to everyone in your area if you build it right that's looking for your service. This is why your address has to be right. Your phone number has to be right. Like Mark Vila said, your hours have to be correct. And especially, I liked what you said about services.
Yeah. If you just bought an embroidery machine, part of your checkup is making sure that you list that on all those places that you do embroidery.
Yeah.
Because somebody is going to jump on Google right now in your area and say embroidery near me or something like that. And if your profile doesn't say embroidery, Google won't know to show it to them, right?
Yeah.
And that might not be a big portion of your business or anything like that. But this is one of those, these are those things that are so little time and they're so free and they're so easy to do that, gosh, if you just get, if you get a customer a year out of that, two customers a year, something like that, almost nothing, but those customers turn into referrals. And this is all part of your growing your business. Even if it's not a huge part, it is a big deal. Yeah. And if it is a big part of your business, it's a massive deal if any of that stuff is right. Because if you get a lot of business of people searching, you know, t-shirts near me, awards near me, you know, custom mugs.
I mean, honestly, like if you're a local business, I think your Google business, Google My Business profile is, it could be more important than your website. Mm-hmm. And Google and Microsoft and Facebook and LinkedIn, all of these services have some level of priority for new information. So they love it when you update things. You can even, with Google My Business, you can even do blog style posts. You can upload promotions into Google My Business. You can have a live chat on Google Business. So all of these things, like the more you participate, the more you check and make sure, you should at least check and make sure it's accurate. But the more you do that and the more you make small changes and the more you participate, the more these search related platforms will reward you with more eyeballs.
Yes. And this is how it works, right? And because we think of it as like from the highest level as we can, which starts with Google or Bing or Yelp or whatever they may be, right?
Yeah.
What they want people to use them. Right. And they recognize that no business is infallible, right? That Google could be taken over by somebody else for search one day if they don't remain the best. Mm-hmm. So if they're the best and you want to use them all the time, what does that mean? That means when I go there, I find what I want. You go to Google or Bing or wherever you go there because you find the answer you want. What might that be? That might be, you know, finding the business, talking to somebody, seeing, and all the things that you build around that. So if you upload pictures and you upload a good description and you have your phone number on there, that's right. And your address on there, that's right. That means that when somebody is looking for your business or a business like yours, they go to Google, they find it, they stop searching. Yep. Google wins and Google gets another point in that person's brain for being the right place to go. Right. In turn, if you answer the phone and provide the pictures that people want to find and have good information, and you are a good listing for Google, Google's AI is going to say, when somebody is searching for this, send them here, because this is the stop. This is the win. The person succeeded.
Yeah, they like it. They like it. They go there, they stay there, they make a call, they chat.
Yes. So then Google says, this is a good one to show more people.
Yeah.
Because it's going to make the person achieve what Google wants, which is a satisfactory search. And then Google, therefore, gets more clout for that person. So participating automatically gives you more business in one way or another over time.
So, and so accuracy, for example, I arranged to meet a business associate for lunch just outside West Shore Mall in Tampa, one of the restaurants right around the outside. They had it listed that it opened at 11, and when you get there, it didn't open until 1. You know, so I'll never go there again. So that inaccuracy cost. If you've got a t-shirt business and in your descriptions, you spelled it t-shirt every time, I've seen things like this.
Yeah.
You know, if it's inaccurate, then the customer doesn't feel good about you. They're probably not going to click. But if everything looks good and you're participating, and you've got pictures and you got your services and you're paying attention, then you're just going to give a great impression. And just like, I'm never going to go to that restaurant again. Mm-hmm. Someone that has a good experience gets the information that you need, goes to your place or orders from you online and has a good experience, they're going to come to you again. And this is where it all starts, is checking your listings mm-hmm. everywhere and making sure they're accurate.
Yep. Another part that we didn't write down, but it reminded me of in these listings is in all of these listings, Facebook, Google, wherever it might be, there's often reviews in there too.
Yeah.
And while you're in there, it's a great thing to take a look at those reviews and see if anything needs to be addressed. Yeah. Whether it's saying, thank you, we love you too, or saying, sorry, we made a mistake, we're going to make it right. Right. Whatever that is. So this is all part of it, but this is, I think that wraps up kind of your listings. Don't forget if this is anywhere that you've been listed. So it is important to keep like some sort of a collateral.
I was list. Just going to say that is keep a spreadsheet or a Google Doc or something that just has links to everywhere that you are.
Yeah. You might forget that, 2 years ago, you got an email from the local newspaper that said, hey, you're a business. Do you want to be on our business listing on our website? And you posted it there and you don't even know if you got any business from it because it took took you 5 minutes. And but if the phone number is wrong and it hasn't been updated in 3 years, man, who knows what you missed?
And I know this seems like a lot, but you know, I'll come clean here. You know, Coldesi has probably 14 different websites. And we've got between 4 and 6 different Google My Business profiles, and those all have Bing profiles. And you know, we're in a lot of different places, and we're not perfect. So luckily, we have salespeople that go through and you know, great customers that let us know if we've done something wrong. By all means, if you have that opportunity where somebody points out something that's incorrect, say thank you and fix it. You know, I can't believe I heard from this person again, Anna.
Yeah. I don't claim that you need to be perfect or that we are, you know, all the time, especially when you have when you're running a lot of stuff, you're going to run into things like, oh gosh, spelling mistake, forgot that. Oh, I haven't checked Instagram in an X period of time. Getting, especially when it's your business and your business is small enough where you can manage it, it's a great place to get started and build that culture from within. And then as you grow your business, maybe you get to a point where you can delegate that down to other people to do it and so on and so forth. And you're going to make mistakes and you can't beat yourself up about it. But if you're doing this checkup, the point of the checkup is that something is wrong and you find it. And maybe it's been wrong for a month, but you found it and you fixed it. And then that's good. Being wrong for a month or 6 months is better than being wrong for a decade, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've got one, we just found one the other day that's been wrong for at least a year.
Yeah.
At least a year, just a spelling on the front page of one of our websites in an obvious place. Yeah.
There was a fax number on the Coleman and Company page that's the fax got shut down a year ago or whenever it was. Yeah. I don't remember.
That's because no one should fax.
Yeah. But the number was on an FAQ.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
And it got found out because someone said I faxed in my form and we said, and someone was like, what does that mean?
One of the Gen Zers that work for us.
It was one of those things. So we went in there and corrected it. And it was probably, we don't know how long it was wrong for, months or whatever it was. It doesn't matter. But the point is that it was fixed. So let's go ahead and move on to some other things.
Yeah. I love the check your print materials because, you know, I'm famous for hating things that are printed because once something is printed, you have to throw it out if it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not like Google Business where you can fix something very quickly. It's, you know, oh, I ordered 10,000 of these brochures and they're all spelled wrong. You know, so I think really checking through your print materials like on a regular basis is a great opportunity to update things and to correct things that have been incorrect for a while.
Yeah. And something being spelled wrong is definitely a failure at a different spot because you printed it with a spelling error, but it is true. But further, it's make sure that your business cards, if they list your Facebook profile, that it's not one that you didn't delete it because you decided you were done with Facebook and now it doesn't exist anymore, you know,
right.
or you used to use your mobile number for your business. Now you have a business phone number, so you don't answer your mobile number anymore, you know, Bob's Print Shop, you know,
right.
Because you just answer it like, what do you want? You know, cause you figure it's somebody trying to tell you about how your car insurances needs to be updated,
you need a warranty.
Or your extended warranty. There's a problem with
yes.
So you started. So anyway, these are just, it's a great to just look at this stuff. So business cards, letterhead, flyers. If you have any posters or printed banners, there's my daughter ice skates and we've been going there for years and they have the bathroom wall advertisement thing.
Okay. Yeah.
That hasn't been changed ever, ever since I've been going there.
Okay.
So years. There's a place that does cybersecurity for your business. And I've stared at this thing 400 times. There's a dance place, you know? And I'm always curious, like, do they still do those dance lessons on Tuesdays?
Oh no. See,
because it's been 4 years.
Where I'm going. I'm very curious how many people are in the bathroom and say, you know what? I really do need to improve my cybersecurity.
Yeah.
Let me just stop and write this company down and give them a call. Where did you see us? The urinal. That's where I saw you.
I'm actually looking at you right now. I called.
Terrible.
But that it's an interesting thing because I wonder if the person who paid for this has ever come back to look at it again.
Yeah,
or you know what? Or even just looked at the file that they sent. You know,
I'll say also that a lot of these things are like, you know, you pay for those kinds of things regularly. So somebody may have been paying $25 a month.
Oh yeah.
You know, to be part of a flyer or a placemat or a wall advertisement or something like that for stuff that they don't do, you know, with bad information on it. So
yeah,
good. It's a good look. The post.
Yeah. And it could be old logos. It could, I mean, anything that it could be, you list a partner on there who's not a part of your business. And now that partner does something nefarious. So you prefer your name not be associated with them. I mean,
that seemed like a very specific example.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anything in this world can happen. It's 2022, you know?
It's true. Did you know that the president of one of the companies that we used to deal with in Australia was arrested for murder?
Yes. I remember that.
So we no longer have his picture on the website. See, we caught that.
Yeah, I mean, but
regular, you know, checkup, you don't know.
So true. There is, I think I mentioned this in a previous podcast. There's two orthodontists that advertise on a banner at a school.
Okay.
And every time I do drop offs or pickups, I see it. One of the banners is just terrible. It's just sun faded and cracked.
Oh, yeah.
And not very legible. And I wonder, I've said, does this, two things I wonder. One is, just has this orthodontist ever looked at that? And if that's acceptable for a banner to them, I'm not interested in seeing what's acceptable when my teeth look like.
There you go. I like that. That's a good decision.
Yeah. And the one next to it is crisp and clean and nice and friendly. And
I hope it's another orthodontist.
It's another orthodontist. They're next. There's two. I'll take a picture of it. I'll show you.
Please do, because I would have a banner next to it that said, I'm not that guy.
Yeah. There's two. So which one are you going to call?
Right.
Now, maybe this orthodontist paid. They got a phone call one day and they said, yeah, what do you want? School? $500. Sure. Sounds good. Yeah. What do I need to do? Nothing. Wonderful. Here's $500. Thank you. And that's great. But if they forgot to check up on that, they don't even realize that their name is being mildly tarnished next to somebody who looks better in a vanity type of a business. It's a vanity business. So, but posters, banners, you should keep a list. You should check up on this stuff. And then I think that's the end of that list. I mean, anywhere that you can't see on the internet, you need to check those and update them. And I won't be really mad if you have a wrong email address on a business card and you scratch it out with pen. At least you did that. But
agreed.
But
versus not having one. Same with the phone number.
Yeah. Yeah. But those things should be updated. And in general, you should just look at all that stuff, because I'll tell you, I definitely have heard stories over the years where somebody went to a trade show and they passed out a bunch of business cards, wrong cell phone number on it.
Yeah.
Old number. Guess what? Terrible. It goes to their ex-wife. Do you think they're going to get any of those leads? You know? So it's a great thing to do. Especially this, and I'm going to one last thing on the printed stuff. If something big is going to happen, like a trade show, or maybe like a parent teacher conference day at the school, or anything like that, whatever examples go with it, and you say, you know what, the ice skating rink's having a Christmas party and I've got a urinal sign.
Yes.
I should check on it before the Christmas party. Because there's going to be, normally there's 50 people there in a day, and there's going to be 500.
I'm just going to throw this out there. Would you by any chance be sponsoring the beverages at this Christmas party? Because then it's kind of a circle there. You know.
There we go. That's actually a great idea.
I think we're onto something.
You give away free water, and then you get two touch points of marketing. It's on the water bottle.
Watch for the podcast all about that circle of life. Okay.
So I have another one that involves chili. Okay. We'll talk about this offline.
Check your emails too. Check your emails.
So that's next. Check your emails. It goes along with websites and stuff, but I think it's a little bit different that it's just worthy of saying separately. The reason why I mentioned this is, recently we did a full audit of our email automations. We have like 20 automations. If you buy certain products, we send you instructions on how to use it, or recommended other product that might go with it, or you sign up for an email list because you want to learn about a piece of equipment. So we send you updates on regular updates on that. And we did a full audit. And in that audit, we probably wanted to make 10 changes out of I don't know how many emails, doesn't matter, but some of those changes were mildly critical, like, oh, that's an old article. That information is not accurate. We should send it to the new one. It's more accurate, I should say. There's more info. We did a deeper dive. So it wasn't bad, but it wasn't our best foot forward. And others were articles we realized we should get rid of. Others were just, we used an old logo. The Coldesi logo changed. A couple of them had the old logo, which is, again, it's not, none of these were critical, but they're all part of the big picture. And then further is your email signature, because here at Coldesi and in many places, your email signature doesn't pop up when you send an email. It's automatically added after you hit send. So it's one of these things that you do not see as you're sending emails.
Right. That's true.
You could have a little footer note, that has a wrong link or an old phone number or a wrong title or a reference to business partner that's now in jail, or referenced your ex-wife or ex-husband that is not an amicable relationship anymore and you prefer leads don't go there. I mean, there's all these different things that can add up. Also, while you're in that email signature, get rid of that like big giant list of things. Disclaimer that says like, don't send art in this format and warning,
No, the one that I hate the most that still crops up in some of our internal emails is, please don't print this, save the planet. You know what I mean? Like there's a long paragraph about, please don't print out emails, this electronic communications. We support, reducing waste in the environment and things like that. And those are on some people's emails. And I very much appreciate the sentiment, but no one's printing your emails. Many people don't even have printers
anymore. I actually do not own a printer. Now, if somebody does print emails, a reminder at the bottom is not going to stop them.
That's true. I appreciate someone sentiment. Specific in mind, as a matter
it's,
of fact.
It's, yeah, I do. We have the same person in mind. Yeah. That's a funny one, and I agree. Now, I will say we do something that I don't prefer, but in our invoice emails, like from Coleman and Company, we do have disclaimers on the bottom because they talk about how UPS, ever since 2020, delivery companies just decided that they have no more responsibility of doing what they said.
Yes, yes. We don't really have to deliver your package at all.
We don't have to deliver it, and we don't have to do anything
about it. Nothing you can do about that.
And there's nothing you can do about it. So, which does remind me about transactional emails. Transactional emails, if you have a web or e-commerce store, are different than your email when you're dealing with sales. So your sales signature might be nice and crisp and clean, and you don't have any, and you deleted the stuff at the bottom that was just didn't need to be there. But maybe your transactional emails should have a disclaimer that you only have X many days to ask for a rework or to complain about you didn't like something or whatever disclaimers you have to have for your business. Yeah. So transactional emails are an important update. And I just did a review on our transactional emails on our ColemanandCompany.com website. And I decided to change nothing.
Okay. That's a good decision.
Wonderful. But it was nice to check that off. And I will find when you do your marketing checks like this, most of the time you're going to say you don't need to change anything.
Yeah. I agree. Especially, like, things change. Things change so often for us that we may, like every other time, find something to change.
Yeah.
But most businesses don't. And the other thing I would add to both is that you should send a personal and a marketing email to someone else that you know, or if you have a different email address that has nothing to do with your business, to check on deliverability. If you're not used to checking on deliverability statistics inside your marketing emails, which I'll ask Mark Vito to comment on, but what you want to check for is to make sure that your emails are getting through. So it may be that for some reason, the regular emails, nobody gets them. Or one in 10 people get them, or no one that has an AOL that uses AOL as an email service provider gets your emails.
Mm-hmm.
Or there could be things like that may be important to your business if you do a lot of email activity. So just a quick check. Hey, mom, did you get this email I just sent you? No, you don't have to buy anything. Just let me know if you got it, how long it took.
Yeah, things like that's a good comment. That's a good comment to make. And that goes along with asking other people to check your website too, and using private browsers and checking your mobile and your desktop. All of these things are really important to do. And I think we can comment. Since you asked me to comment, I will, just for anybody itching for the more commentary. Please. From me. But if you are doing marketing emails through a service provider, the MailChimp, or something like that, Constant Contact, they have reports that they will run for you. And a lot of people will send an email and never look at what happened with it or look at long-term reports. So if you use an email providing service like that, they'll have reports and you should look at them. You can also typically open up like a support ticket with one of these and maybe ask on how to get that report or how to get that information or find out if you can be compared to similar accounts like yours, just to make sure it's healthy. And if something is not healthy, like maybe you go into a report and you see spam complaint is like a red, right? Or there's an exclamation next to it or a lightning bolt or fire or that hand crush symbol. if any of those things are there, you can also just ask for their support and say, hey, I noticed this is happening. And they'll send you an article or some documentation on some things you might be doing wrong to help you improve that stuff. And if you're sending your marketing emails out through your Gmail, just a side note tip, don't BCC a bunch of people. Don't BCC everybody on your list and send a marketing email about a shirt that's on sale, because that's a great way to get your regular email address put into spam box by Google. And then people won't get your emails with an invoice or anything like that. So if you are if you do use like Google Business email or a GoDaddy email or Microsoft Outlook email, whatever it is, and you do find customers telling you that, your email went in my spam and it's from like outlook.com, you know?
Yeah.
Another good reason to open up support ticket with one of those companies and find out what the issue might be.
Yeah. And I'll just add that the other, you know, some of the things that you're looking for in there as part of a checkup would be, you know, what percentage of people are opening your emails and what percentage of people are clicking on your emails.
And that's just going to be for automation stuff, not like your Gmail won't show you that if you.
No. But if you're using MailChimp or Constant Contact, I did look at Constant Contact for one company and literally like 1% of the people that they send emails to are opening it. So it was terrible. And they had a list of their competitors was in there. So it's a good review to make, you know, make sure that your email signatures are healthy. Make sure your auto response and your e-commerce emails are accurate and say what you want them to say. If you're doing marketing emails, make sure that they're getting delivered, being opened, and that people care enough to click. Otherwise, don't do marketing emails.
I am adding another note. I just thought of something. It's a PS at the end of the notes here. Check your voicemail. Check your voicemail message. The one that people get when they call you. I'll tell you, I haven't even listened to mine and my personal one in forever. But I just have like the generic auto attendant, like, thanks for calling Mark. You know, but that's all I've needed, you know, because... Yeah. Because I just haven't needed it for business or personal purposes. But if it's your business and somebody's calling your business, it probably, you should just make sure that that's right. Again, you could have the voice of a criminal person who got famous on the internet for saying bad things. So people recognize their voice and that used to be your business partner. I don't know what it would be, but you should check it again, make sure it doesn't, I'll tell you what, I mean, there's all the times where, I've called people various times in the past. I've called people and it says stuff like, hey, your voicemail says you're on vacation in June.
Yes.
It's March. So you might as well just leave it if you're going in vacation in June again, I guess. It's
right.
Almost there. So check your voicemail. And again, this is one of those things where you should just schedule this. And I think this can wrap it up, right?
I like that.
Make up a schedule that rolls through all of this stuff. It depends on your business and how important things are. If your website's very important because a lot of people go there and you get a lot of information and you tell people to go there often, you're probably going to want to check that monthly. If your website's maybe reasonably important, but you have big clients that come through there, like, I don't get a lot of business from my website, but when I do, it's big. Maybe you want to check it. Maybe you still check it monthly. Maybe you check it every couple of weeks. If you're going to have a big event of some sorts happen, a big ad spend, or you're going to be going to a local county fair and have a booth, I don't know what you're doing, but if you're going to have an event and you're going to share things, that's a great time to do it. So some of the things are going to be time sensitive because you're going to the county fair. Others are going to be critical because you regularly get a lot of business there. And then everything else you can kind of interval. So maybe you just check your business cards and such every 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, you check your Facebook page. You go there often to upload pictures, but log into your profile once every couple months. Especially if it's not very busy, you know, you don't get a lot of traffic. Maybe every other month, but build out a little mini calendar, write everything that we've written down and anything else that we missed that's important for your business, put it into your Google or Outlook calendar, set dates to do stuff. So noon on June 15th, you're just going to check your business cards, letterhead, and the flyer that you have up in a bathroom.
Yeah.
You don't have to drive to the bathroom if you still have the digital version, but you probably should drive to make sure somebody didn't spit Coke all over it. You know, I don't know.
Again, you have oddly specific examples.
It's, I mean, it's, you're at the ice rink. There's hockey kids all over the place. Do you think, are these the most polite people in the world? Probably not. They're hockey kids. They hit people for fun.
Okay. I mean, and see, I associate hockey kids with Canadians that I just assume are polite.
I will say nobody spit Coke on this one that I'm referring to. So the kids apparently do respect the ads. Put it on a schedule, check on things, figure out how often you're going to go there, consider events that may be happening, and be sure to schedule this stuff and have it in advance. If you're doing an event that require print materials like business cards, you don't want to check your business cards Friday before the Saturday event. That is important to do still, but you should probably check them 1 month out. This way you have time to edit, order, get them in, check those, fix it if there's a problem. So these are all things to consider ahead of time. And then the last PS is just check your voicemail every once in a while.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I think this is a useful episode. I really would appreciate it if all of you would actually do these things.
Yeah.
I think we do better when you do better. And these are just simple, free things that you can do to make sure your business has got every chance of success. It's important. You should do it.
Yeah. Yeah. What's interesting about business in general and doing these things are if you ask a typical small business owner, when was the last time you went through all this stuff, right? Because we've talked about this before. A lot of them are like, I have a guy who looks at it. When did he look at it last? Actually, I think it's his wife looks at it. Okay. Her? I don't know, and that's where you run into it. And the problem or the good thing is maybe is that business is fine. Yeah. Like everything's going fine. But to round it back to the doctor thing, maybe everything is fine with your health, but you have one of your potassium is off, iron is a little low, and you never knew about it. And then you don't do anything about it. You never check it. And then one day you feel pretty sick. And the doctor says, oh, this has probably been going on for a decade. If you would have taken some vitamins, you'd probably feel better. But now we have to like address it for real, you got to take a shot. And that's what could happen with your business is your website form has been wrong for so long that all of this business keeps trickling away and the referrals start slowing down because your phone number on Google is wrong. And all of a sudden
you're missing. Yeah.
Yeah. You're that opportunity, which was growth referral starts dwindling and dwindling. And next thing you know, it's been 2 years and you have all of these problems, the cancer spread. And now you're starting from scratch in a lot of places.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. All right. I think that does it. This has been Mark Stevenson
and Mark Vila from Coldesi.
Yes, you are from Coldesi. You guys have a great business.